This holiday is celebrated normally at different times from the Jewish people. It's a Jewish holiday, but this year it just so happens that it falls exactly on the same day for the Jewish people as for the Christian calendar. Their day is different. This is Friday for them. Their day begins in the evening. So this is already Friday evening, and in the Jewish understanding, this would be Friday. In our understanding, this is Thursday evening. But remember, God in the beginning said that the day began evening and morning the first day. So evening is how the day begins. So this is actually the beginning of the day in God's eyes. And the Jewish people still keep that alive. Now, during the night, we're not actually celebrating the Jewish Pesach. Pesach means Passover. And Jesus, as we know, is the Passover lamb. So we celebrate in a way that uses the same form but fills it with its fulfillment. That is, the fact that Jesus came and he is the Passover lamb. And so this is the Jewish festival, but it's with a Christian understanding or usage. Now, in the Jewish tradition and understanding, not only does this day fall together, this was exactly the same way when Jesus Christ died. This is the night in which he celebrated the Pesach, the exact same date, so that it happened 3 days in a row that you had Thursday night, which is their Friday. That would be the Passover. Then unleavened bread was on Saturday, which is the next day, which is part of Friday. And that was a day of rest. So you know the Jewish people celebrate on Friday their day of rest. And then the next day is the day of first fruits, or that's the resurrection, what we call sometimes Easter, but that's the resurrection from the dead. So in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you have three festivals, exactly the 14th, 15th, and 16th of what on our calendar, but also it happened to fall on the Jewish calendar as well. So this is a very unique year. It doesn't happen very often that this festival falls at this time. First of all, welcome to everybody. Hag Sameach. Happy festival to you. And this is a night of relaxation, so don't get formal. This is a night when we relax, we put on our finery, but only to celebrate, only to rest. And in the early days, the people actually laid down, that is, they rested on cushions. So if you'd all put your chair down, and we aren't going to do that. But normally, they had a relaxed atmosphere, and they sat around the table when Jesus was with his 12 disciples. And we're going to read the scriptures from the Old Testament, how it all began, and then from the New Testament. And you're going to participate. You will actually read. There are scriptures in front of your dishes. Now, not enough because there's only 33 scriptures. But we have 100 and some people here. But when your turn comes, please get a Bible ahead of time, borrow it from somebody so that you can read. You'll see number 2 and then number 3. It's in your what we call the Haggadah. Say Haggadah. Haggadah means a recitation, a form that we follow in this Seder. Seder means order. So this little booklet that you have that was prepared by some of the people, this is what you'll follow tonight. It's a recital. It's a historical recital of how everything goes, including the meal. The main thing tonight is these four cups. These four cups, the first one is the cup of holiness or sanctification. This is the first cup, and we're going to drink wine tonight. And sorry for the little kids who you'll have to contain them. But everyone's going to drink wine. Wine is good for the stomach. And then the second cup is called the cup of judgment. So after sanctification or holiness, you realize you're not holy, so you need to be judged. So the second cup is the cup of judgment. And thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ has already done that for you. The third cup, then, is the cup of salvation or redemption. And the last cup is called the cup of praise. Because we have been redeemed, we've been saved, we now rejoice always. In fact, the only thing God wants from us now is not our goodness, but is our thanksgiving for his goodness. And so The main thing that God wants, it doesn't mean we're not good, but today we're good for nothing. You don't have to be good to get on his right side. He's already declared his holiness, which you didn't keep, then his judgment, which he took, and then his salvation, which he gave you for free. Amen. God will not be obligated. He likes to give everything away for free. And then your praise, which is a response for the fact that the holiness hurt Jesus rather than you, and the gift of salvation came to you. Jesus didn't need it. And then the rejoicing is that we all rejoice together because we will be in his house forever and ever and ever based upon his mercy and his kindness. Now, there's one more cup up here, the fifth cup, and this cup is special. This is called the cup of Elijah, but we also call it the cup of hope because this one has to do with the hope that someday the Messiah will come. The Jewish people do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They believe the Messiah is yet coming. And they're right. Jesus is coming. But they're wrong. He already came. He came to save us so that when he comes back, we, in fact, will be able to join with him and not be judged. Because at that time, there will be a judgment, but none of us will be judged. Now, the cup of Elijah is this, that before the Messiah can come, Elijah must return. And Jesus said, don't you know, it was John the Baptist. So when John the Baptist, who had the spirit of Elijah, he was the herald or the introducer of the Messiah. And that means that the second coming, there will also be a herald. There will also be a trumpet call, as David blew the shofar tonight, to indicate the time has come. It's about time for the bride to make herself ready because the bridegroom is going to come and sit at table, and we will not only be married to him, but we will all be joined together, Jew and Gentile. How many know that God has promised that the Jewish people will be restored as a nation? We've come in as individuals. They will come in as a nation. Today, they're not quite ready, but they're beginning to be ready, and they will say these words in Hebrew, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus said that when the Jewish people say that, I will return. Now, as they are now, even now in Israel, they are even now being prepared. Many Jewish people are secretly lovers of the Messiah, even though openly, for fear of the Jews, they don't say anything. There are multitudes, that is well over 100,000 Messianic Jews in Israel. In this country, of course, there are equally a large number. But all over the world, there are Jewish people coming to Yeshua as their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, our celebration is really borrowed from Jewish roots. You cannot understand Christianity without the Jewish background. If you try to understand what Jesus was all about and you have no comprehension of the thousands of years prior to that, you really can't understand why he took the Lord's Supper or why he fulfilled the festivals, there's seven of them, why he did what he did. But tonight we'll get an insight into the first three, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Those are the spring festivals. And as you know, in a few minutes, we're going to reenact what a Jewish mother and Jewish father and Jewish family would do to prepare for Passover. Spring cleaning. Spring cleaning is not just springtime, so it's time to clean. It actually was ordained by God that everyone should clean their houses and make sure there is no sin, no leaven, no dirt, anything unclean or unholy. That's why we're dressed in our finest clothes. We're dressed up because we are clean before the Lord, and there is nothing that is unholy or common or not of God that's not acceptable to God. So we've presented ourselves tonight. So these four cups. Now, here's a special plate that every Jewish family owns. It can be made out of a variety of materials. This one's made out of glass. And it has special pockets or places for food. Usually there's a hard-boiled egg, and there's always parsley, which is part of the bitter herbs. We're going to dip that twice tonight in the salt water to remember their suffering. We'll do that later. Then there is the lamb, which is the main part of the meal. That's the meat. Jesus was the Lamb of God. who takes away the sin of the world. So as Jesus was sacrificed, so you do not have to pay for your sins because it's been paid for. Then the horseradish on the end of the celery is another Jewish traditional food, which is bitter. If you like horseradish, there's something wrong with you. I actually like horseradish. So horseradish will bring tears to your eyes because you have to remember that Israel was once slaves in Egypt. And because they were slaves of sin and slaves of men, lift it up. Oh, I'm dripping. Okay. That's where I sit. These traditional foods are served in every Orthodox Jewish home, but even the unorthodox, many times the Reformed Jews as well, will celebrate this meal, not so much out of religious devotion as much as out of an ethnic identity. They just simply know, well, it's part of being Jewish, is this background, this history. But for many Jews today in Tel Aviv or New York City or Dallas, Texas, for many Jewish people, they are beginning to re-understand and go back to their own roots. And there's more understanding today about Jewish heritage within the Christian church than there ever has been in the past 20 centuries. So in this day, Jews and Christians are more closely talking to each other and learning about each other than ever before in the history of the world. In fact, in the 20th century, there has been more contact that is of a friendly basis rather than an unfriendly basis, a hostility. If you're hostile to the Jewish people, even if they deserve it, you have missed God, because God is not hostile to his people. He wasn't hostile to us, and he's not hostile toward them, and he has promised to restore them. And they are looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and they're not wrong. The Messiah will come, not to destroy them, but actually to redeem them and to give them full restoration. So we live in a different age. It's begun over a long period of time, but in our age we see more fruit to it than ever before in the history of the world. There have been more Jewish and Christian comings together in this century than ever before in the history of the church. There's one more food in here, and it's a sweet. The two herbs are bitter, but the sweet is called charoset. So this is called morer, this one is called karpas, and this one is called charoset, which means, it looks, if you look at it, it looks something like a brick, but it's actually representing the mortar, because the Jewish people were in Egypt as slaves making bricks, laboring. Many of us can understand that because you have been under a lot of toil, worry, care, and it's like sometimes you just work so hard and God wants to relieve you from that. So this festival is a memory of tears in the past, of hard work, of toil, but of God's redemption and his desire to set us all free. It is for freedom that God has come into the world. He has not come into the world to condemn the world, but he has come into the world to set us all free. So we're going to now partake of these traditional foods, but after a couple of minutes.
Hold on.
After a couple of minutes. All right. Now we're going to have the drama right now of the mother cleaning the house. So she has her apron on. I see her daughter is ready. And so she's going to clean the house, and her goal, as she and her daughter are sweeping up and doing spring house cleaning, her goal is actually to remove all chametz, which means all leaven, from the house, like cake or Mrs. Baird's bread or anything that might have leaven in it. And so she has to make sure it's totally clean. The father has gone off to the synagogue with the son.
Read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
All right. Mom and daughter, keep cleaning. And remember, son has gone off with dad, off to synagogue. It's exactly at this time of day, evening, and the synagogue takes place right in the dusk period. Not quite Thursday, not quite Friday yet, right at that corner. And the mother knows the sun is going down, and pretty soon it will be dark. But hopefully father and son will be back before it's dark. So it's just about dark. All right, now, the daughter is going to actually leave a little bit of leaven on the corner so that when dad comes home to inspect the house, he will find a little bit of sin and make sure that it's gone. So you put that on the corner there for him to see. Yeah. Here comes father. He's home, and he's going to inspect to see that everything is clean in the house.
I cleaned the whole house, honey. There's no living in here at all.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Oh, you're so picky.
Hey, do you see any leaven? Hey, what's this?
I didn't put it there.
You didn't put it there. Let's get rid of this. Now you...
All right, he's going to take a feather now because he can't touch it because it's unholy, and they've just been to synagogue, and so they don't want to in any way contaminate themselves. So he's going to use the feather, put it into the spoon, and it will not fall on the floor. And then dad's going to take that spoon, not touching it, and make sure it's burned outside so that the house is ritually clean. Now, how many know we're part of the house of God? And when the Lord returns, there will be no spot or wrinkle or any such thing on the bride of Christ. Of course, we have some. But the Father himself will remove it when he comes home. So that you know now your spirits are renewed, but how many know there's still a little bit of sin left in your life? Just a little bit on the corner of the table. But when the Lord comes back and blows the trumpet, you will actually have a purified soul, even though you never accomplished that in this lifetime. Your spirits are pure, but your soul is being purified, and your body has not yet come. How many know you get a new body someday? Not like this old body that's wearing out. Amen. You can't have a new body till you have a new soul. And you can't have a new soul unless you have a new spirit. You've got a new spirit, you're getting a new soul, and you will get a new body. All right. David, is the house ready? The father is now going to give the traditional blessing.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to remove all leaven from our household.
All right, so he has now removed all the leaven and he's declared the house. So it's time now for us to sit down at table and we're going to turn the lights out. And mother's going to light the light. This is the way a Jewish household would be, everyone seated and now waiting for the mother to light the lamp. Okay. Do you want me to do it for you? No, don't light any of the other ones. Don't light yours yet. Don't light yours yet. Shh. All right. Let's wait now. Everybody sit at table and just wait.
I think I'm too high. May the saints of God sit at table. May this house be cleansed of all sin. Prepare your hearts this night, remembering the Lamb of God. Did we taste the bitter herbs of bondage? Making bricks and mortar night and day, remembering our sins, that heavy yoke has passed away. Free in Jesus, guilt and toils now gone. Blood atonement, he has righted our wrong. Pharaoh made the children bear their burdens. No one had the power to say no. Until that happy day when God said, let my people go. Free in Jesus, guilt and toils now gone. Blood atonement, he has righted our wrong. I will take the cup of salvation. I will offer sacrifice of praise. So blessed be the Lord, both now and evermore. For he alone is God. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right, now you may all light your candles. You can turn the lights back on.
John chapter 8.
Yeah.
Turn the lights back on.
Yeah, turn the lights back on. Someone back there.
Everybody lighting your candle? John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the world.
All right. David is now going to wash his hands as the father of the house, showing that he's ready to, just like we wash hands before supper. All right. And there are now two more scriptures. Matthew 26.
Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
Number four.
Oh, just one. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover.
Number four, Psalm 119. Does no one have it? Oh.
119:105-107. Exodus 12:1-6.
Just hand the Bibles down so that people can get them. Read good and loud.
This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be your first month of the year to you. Speak to all of the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from a sheep or from the goat. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight.
Exodus 12:7-11.
And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh of on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened and bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it.
It's okay.
Do not eat raw nor boiled all the water, but roasted in fire.
Exodus 12, 12 through 14.
Just hand the mic around, that way we can all hear.
And turn it on.
Hold it up.
For I will pass through the land, and Egypt on that night, and will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you.
Days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and take yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of this house of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through this through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever.
And it will come about when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, that you shall observe this rite. And it will come about when your children will say to you, What does this rite mean to you? That you shall say, It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle.
So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians.
I'm borrowing this son tonight. My others are not here.
Father, why is this night different from all other nights?
On all other nights, we eat either leavened bread or matzah. But on this night, we eat only matzah.
Why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs?
On all other nights, we eat all kinds of herbs, but on this night, we eat only bitter herbs.
Why on this night do we dip our herbs twice?
On all other nights, we do not dip our herbs at all, but on this night, we dip them twice to remind us that our troubles come from our own sins, and also from the oppression of the enemy.
Well, on this night, do we eat only roasted lamb?
On all other nights, we eat all lawful meats, but on this night, we eat only roasted lamb, in memory of God's Exodus, when we killed the Passover lamb and put his blood on our houses, so that we did not die, but were spared when death passed over Egypt.
And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
Exodus 28 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy servant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not.
Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
All right, come on up here at the table. All right. All the children 12 and under. All right, here we go. Now, let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. No. Come back. Now, remember how we hid the matzah in a napkin, and where is it? Whoever finds it gets a prize. Now, let me ask something. Do any of you know where it is already?
No.
No? Sammy, did you know where it is? No. All right. We're going to count to three, and then you go find it, and whoever gets it first gets a prize. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Quick, look, Sammy. See if you can find it.
No, it's not behind there. Nobody in the back.
It might be under the table. Is that it? See if you can find it. It's somewhere. Who's got it? It's hiding somewhere. Did you find it? No? All right. Who's found it? Nobody? Boy, somebody hit it. Somebody hit it. Got the present?
Put it in my car. You think I'll find it?
All right, who's found it? Nobody's finding it. You got to look everywhere. You found it?
No.
We need some hints.
I'll give you a hint. It's in this room.
It's in the room. It's in this room somewhere. Look high and low. Look high and low.
It's below 6 foot high. Everybody's, well, I'm not going to say anything. How long do we have?
It's in this room. You got to find it. Better give him a hint.
It's toward, that's a good thing. Okay, look toward the back of the room.
Back of the room.
Clear the aisles.
Back of the room.
I'm not going to say which side yet.
Back of the room. Yeah. It's a white napkin. Somebody's got
it. Yay!
Danielle
Castro.
All right. Hallelujah. All right, we have a present now.
Okay, we have a 2006 Silver Eagle Dollar. Silver. Here you go, baby.
All right.
All right.
That's a safe place.
Give that to Mom and Dad.
All right, let's pour now the third cup. The third cup of wine. The third cup of wine.
I didn't steal it, but I enjoyed it.
That's okay. That's good. All right. Barukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Borei Pri Hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. Let us drink now the third cup. Now the third cup is called the cup of redemption. It is the cup of salvation. This is the cup in the meal where Jesus Christ broke the bread of the middle matzah. So I'm going to take out the middle matzah. And it said, here are the broken pieces. It said that Jesus took bread. And when he took the bread, you remember how it goes. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Now this is exactly during the third cup. And then it says, and he gave it to them saying, take, eat. This is my body. This is my body. Remember we talked about the piercing and the burning and the everything about this bread speaks of Jesus' body. Then he said, do this as often as you come together in my remembrance. In the same manner also he took the cup. This is the third cup of the meal. And he said, after giving thanks, drink of it all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many. So we know that sins, once you take this cup, his blood paid for your sins, you will never ever have to answer for your sins again. That is a very powerful idea, because you should, but you don't have to. We've all been guilty. We've all deserved. We were all unworthy of coming into God's holy house. But because Jesus died through this cup and this bread that was broken, his body paid for you, his blood shed for you. He didn't do it for himself. It was because he loved you. And now you have an opportunity to believe in him, to trust in him, to say, you know, I'm not going to worry about my sin anymore. I'm not going to try to pay for it. I'm just going to take this free gift. God never pays a wage. He only gives gifts. I'm going to say it again. God will you can never obligate God to say, you owe me. God owes you nothing. You deserve hell, death, being cut off. He'll never do it. He has proven through this bread and this wine, and this is why it was the Last Supper, because he said, I won't drink this again until we sit down together in the kingdom of God. So this is a celebration in anticipation of that day when we sit down together, because our sins no longer are counted. Now, we have sins. They're just not counted. You've been set free in your spirit, in your inner man. Your soul is still messed up. You're working on that. Slowly but surely. Amen. Why? Because he has given you his Holy Spirit. And he's in you to will and to do. Sometimes you find yourself not wanting to do the will of God, but other times you find yourself wanting to do the will of God. He's in you to will and to do. Nobody here is perfect. Nobody here is done right. Everybody here is guilty. You all understand that's why this was done. God always knew we were going to sin. He never gave the law so you wouldn't sin. He gave the law so that when you sinned, you'd say, I did. And then you'd say, now what? And he would say, take, eat. Drink of this cup. Whoever drinks of this cup will never again be under guilt or condemnation. God convicts you, but he never condemns you. God also, when he is dealing with you, he will rebuke you, but he will never reject you. You see the difference? He rebukes you for what you've done, but he won't reject you for who you are. It's extremely important that this meal that we have all partaken of has Jewish roots to it. It's the meaning of the third cup. So this third cup then is that without the shedding of blood. So I want someone to read John 12, number 16. John 12, 23 through 32. John 12. Who has that? Who has it? Number 16. Microphone. Who has 12? Who has 16, 17, and 18? Who has 16? Tom, you have 17, so it's probably near Tom. Who has 16? John 12, 23 through 32. Anyone can read it. If somebody else has a Bible, you can read it. Go ahead, Tom. Thank you. Okay. Listen now to the scripture. John 12.
Eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let's see, I'm going to 13. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Yes, John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washeth needeth not, except to wash his feet, but is entirely clean, and ye are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who should betray him, and therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had... I think that's where it stops.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung the Hallel, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
One 17 and 118. So the Hallel is like hallelujah. Those five psalms are what Jesus sang when he said they went outside and sang a hymn. They weren't singing a hymn, they were singing the Hallel. Now I've actually been in Jerusalem and I've gone from the Mount of Olives singing that very psalm 1:13 through 1:18, and it's amazing how that describes that night. Remember, he's going to be killed the next day. In fact, it's the same day in the Jewish calendar. It'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, which is actually the same day. And Jesus is predicting his own death, and he's entering into it for your sake, not for his, so that you don't have to die. It's an amazing love that he has that said, I've looked forward to this meal because it means my death. Jesus did not die on Friday. He died Thursday night, which is Friday morning or Friday evening. Now, on that Friday evening, when he took this communion, he was a dead man. Because by doing this, what he was doing was saying, I lay my life down for you. And even though it's a sacrament, you must understand, this actually literally meant Jesus would have to give up his physical life. The physical life was not his death. It said, I will lay 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. That's when he was handed over or delivered to his enemies so that you would be set free. It's a powerful story that God will go to any length, even to destroying himself. That is, the son that he loves more than even himself. He loved his son, but yet he would sacrifice him for you to show you how valuable you are. He does not love Jesus more than you. It's a powerful story, and it's what we have just done with or without understanding. This meal is powerful because it just shows that God loves each one of you, not all of us together, but each one of you to such an extent that if you were the only one on the earth that missed out on God, he would pay the dearest price. You're precious in his sight. So it's a powerful story. We're going to now read the Hallel, which are Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. So whoever has number 22, 23, and so on, go ahead and start. Melissa? We're almost done.
Okay, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Are you next?
No, 114.
That's me. Okay, I'm 115. Psalm 114, 1-4. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs.
This is Psalm 115, 1 through 9. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the nations say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They who make them are like unto them. So is everyone who trusteth in him. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Israel today, as you know, is in trouble. The nation of Israel today is surrounded by enemies that want to destroy her. And normally, the church is in the forefront of those that want to destroy Israel. But we have learned better, that it's not God's will to destroy Israel, only to chasten her. She will be chastened. But out of this chastening will come a purified Israel. And whether you know it or not, many in Israel today are coming to the Lord, returning to their Messiah because of their distress, because of their suffering. So the suffering is only bad if it's destructive, but it's not bad if it's just a spanking or a discipline. God never intended to destroy Israel. The nations are wrong. And the church has been wrong over the years. We repent of that. We change our mind because God is going to salvage Israel. Jesus paid the price to show that his death was not the last word. Life is the last word with God. God is not into destroying us. We can destroy ourselves, but it's not God's will that we be destroyed. It's God's will that we live and that we prosper. We're praying for your daughter, Anne. She's in the hospital right now, near death. She could die. She has a very severe disease that could put her into death. But we're praying that, being a young lady, that she will live, despite her foolishness, that she will live and be able to serve the Lord. Death is not the last word. God loves Israel because he loves all of us. He's just using Israel as an example for the rest of us to see what lengths he would go to salvage his people. He's not mad at Israel. How many know Israel has sinned? Israel's big, stubborn, they're stiff-necked people. Of course, I don't mean anyone in particular. We're all stubborn and stiff-necked. It's an example to all of us. But God loves stubborn and stiff-necked people because that's all he's got. It's not really, he can't really choose. Say, well, I like the Irish. How many know that God, he doesn't really care? So his love for Israel, if it's not real, then neither is his love to you. God will never forsake the wife of his youth. He will return to her, and she will be purified. Whether you see her today as pure or not, it's not important. God's will is that Israel be restored. And in our own day, I tell you the truth, you will see Israel restored to God. In our own day. That is, with our own eyes. It's never happened before in the history of the world. These are the last days. These are the last times. And the time is very short. So great things are going to happen, not because we're a better generation, because we're holier. Not even possible. But just because God is saying, I'm about to return now, and I want my people Israel restored fully. We this time, first time ever, we this time will pray for Israel. We will even identify with Israel because we know that God is not yet through with his people and not yet through with the earth. Today, over 100,000 people every single day are coming to Jesus Christ. I just got back from India. I've been in Russia. Wherever I go in the world, been all over Africa, wherever I go, China, it's always the same. 20, 30,000 people every day from each continent coming to Jesus Christ. Over 100,000 people every day. The world is changing, whether you know it or not. Not here in America. America is sluggish. Europe is almost dead. The very birthplace of Christianity. But everywhere that we took the gospel, it's now flourishing. It is so great, you can't even comprehend it. The Muslim nations in Africa, I visited three of them last year. I visited Burundi and Uganda, Nigeria. Wherever you go, the Muslims used to control it. Now the Christians are in total control. They are dominating everywhere. And everywhere I go, it's the same story. God is about to come back and reap a great harvest. I just want you to know he's faithful. Israel is in deep trouble. She's not in good shape today, but she's turning to the Lord. Many of her leaders, we know Netanyahu, we know Shimon Peres, we know these people. They are secretly very open to what God is doing in the churches. They see a different kind of church. We see a different kind of Israel. God is doing something wondrous that's hidden, but it's about to be revealed. So I hope you understand that. Next psalm is 116 and 17, 18, 18. So just go ahead and read them one after another. Hello. 116.
I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
Praise the Lord. All your people. I'm sorry. Loud of all your peoples, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yahoo!
Little too much joy on that one. All right. Psalm 118.
I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them.
So Jesus was about to die, but he had no fear. He knew that God was going to deliver him. Next verse.
The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death.
Woo-hoo! All right, last one before the fourth cup. 118, 21 through 26.
I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord.
This is too powerful. It's a perfect description of Jesus. He is the cornerstone. He said this is the day he was dying, Good Friday. That's the day he said was the day he rejoiced in. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Was Jesus afraid to die? Not at all. Jesus chose to die. His will, of course, was to live. But he gave up his will, his self, to the Lord and said, I trust you, Lord, not my will but thine be done. Jesus was the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone of our hope and our salvation. Let us now drink the fourth cup. Okay. All right. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech ha'olam borei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for you have created the fruit of the vine. All right. Psalm 145, 1 through 12. Psalm 145.
I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord.
Psalm 149. Psalm 149, 1 through 6. Just two more.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands.
Now, at this point, the meal is almost over except for the Elijah cup. This Elijah cup, as I said, is waiting, and every Jewish setter includes this waiting to see if Elijah will come, if this could be the year. If not, it will be perhaps next year in Jerusalem. And so that's how the meal ends, waiting for Elijah, hoping that Elijah will come, the herald of good news, the herald who will introduce the Messiah. The Messiah is not yet coming. I can tell you right now, he's not coming tonight because there's still some work to be done. There are more to be saved. There are more that are ordained for eternal life. Anyone may come. It's not predestined. It's not predestined, meaning God, of course, knows who will come. But he hasn't said, I want any sinner to die. It is not God's desire that even one sinner die. If you die, you die on your own. But it's not the will of God. God wants you to come, so there's still time. All right, the last two verses. The last two verses, Malachi 3, 1 through 3.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness.
In the last verse, Malachi 4, 1 through 6.
For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the laws of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to our children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Let it come, let I come and strike the earth will. The earth of the curse.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in closing, I want you to say this Greek word, Maranatha. It means, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. And this in Hebrew, Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alah. Next year in Jerusalem. I want you to all say it. Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alah. Next year in Jerusalem. So this year is over. Elijah didn't come. It's not going to be this year. I hope he hasn't come because we all missed out. But no, he hasn't come. We will not miss out because it's God's will that we join him. He would hold up heaven and earth to let you come in. If you desire to come in, the Lord wants you to come in. So this is a great day. Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alah. It means next year in Jerusalem. David, I'm going to ask you now to give thanks to some of the people that helped and to close us in prayer.
If all who
helped in the serving and in the preparing their own. And the musicians here at the front. And we just want to thank God for everybody, because this is such a group effort, and everybody here in Dallas has just really pitched in and just really created this entire room, from the palm fronds to the flower arrangements and all of the things that you have in front of you. And we just want to give them a great, wonderful round of thanks. Could you stand up if you've served or you helped? Would you do that? Please let us just stand up if you helped prepare this feast in any way. Would you please stand? Come on. Come on, everybody, please, please. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. What a blessing this is. Do you want to talk about the fast before I close? Why don't you talk about the fast before I close? Okay, before I close, Pastor Jim would like to share an opportunity with you.
All right. For about 30 years, I don't know how long, I have always fasted for the next 3 days. This is the Last Supper for the Lord. And until he was risen from the grave on Sunday morning, I have not eaten. So I would ask you if you want to, if you feel like doing it, or if you're not sick or something, to join me in fasting for the next 3 years.
And that's why he looks so good.
I used to weigh 350 pounds, and now it isn't all that difficult. Your stomach will think so, but it's okay. But it's something to do to remind yourself during this time. Otherwise, you just go about your business. Remind yourself, look, if the Lord did this for me, I should just remember him. I don't get into heaven because of it. There's no special blessing because of it. It's just a time for me to draw close to him. So I just invite you to do it. I tell you, great things always happen when you're fasting for the Lord. It puts a special intensity. Right now we have so many people in our church. A lady called me today from Houston. She also has been diagnosed, and I think tomorrow is her... She's having an operation. She could die. And it's some kind of cancer, very severe. Possibly. And so we're praying, and I'm very convinced that it'll be benign. It will not be malignant. But the doctors have not given her a lot of optimism. They want her to face the truth. So we spent some time today in prayer. But I believe God wants to set his people free. And these are not difficult things for us. It's wonderful to be able to face a problem, overcome it, and know God did that because he loves me. Not because I deserve it. Not because I'm good. But because God is good. And God wants to bless me for no reason at all. This is our God. I hope tonight you saw something in this meal. I hope you saw something in our celebration, the songs, the scriptures. And there'll be some more worship after the thing is over. And you're welcome to go home. But you're also welcome to stay. There'll be a time of worship. So, David, if you will close with prayer.
If I'll ask the musicians to go ahead and come on up. And if you'd like to stay for a little bit as we just worship the Lord some more. But let's bow before the Lord. Let's all stand together, in fact. Let's all stand together. We've been sitting a good while. All right. And let's just worship the Lord together as we dismiss. You'll remember that he sent them forth with silver and with gold, and there was not one, as this lady we're talking about here in Houston, there was not one feeble among their tribe as they left the place. Amen? So there's not one feeble here among this tribe. So if you've had a disease, if you've had any kind of affliction, we're just going to believe God that you're just going to receive the strength of the Lord tonight. There is not one feeble among this tribe. Amen? Say, I didn't hear that. Amen. Say, it's not for me. It's for you to hear your own mouth. Amen? A lot of time we think things, we hear things, but we don't say things. And we need to say something so I can hear myself say it. Boy, did I say that? So, Father, we just rejoice. May we give you praise and thanksgiving forevermore. We thank you that we have come together, Lord God, in freedom in this place to worship and to give praise to the Lord our God. Father, to declare the things that he has prepared for us, that he has, from the foundation of the world, created a vision, and he has fulfilled that vision.
from the feasts on through the coming and their sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God. And he has redeemed us, and we receive that redemption right now by faith. And Father, everything that has come with that redemption, we receive it right now. Father, we thank you for the strength in our bodies tonight. We thank you for the joy in our hearts tonight. Even in the middle of living in a world full of nastiness and rotten people like us. Father, we thank you that you are our strength and our joy and our peace. And Father, we have no other joy but you. And that's our declaration out of our mouth. And we receive your fullness, your joy, with thanksgiving. And we depart this place with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Maranatha, next year in Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.